Harris Methodist Church began exploring the idea of being a sanctuary church more than a year ago. Its congregation voted on it last spring, but it was only until this past fall that it openly talked about its new ministry. It includes lending support to immigration cases like the one of Maui resident Tanya Venegas, who was facing deportation. The church sought advice from immigration attorneys and the American Civil Liberties Union before deciding to take this first step. We sat down with church officials, including sanctuary ministry leader Darlene Rodriguez. But we start out with Pastor Rona Magayam about what this means.
While we declared ourselves as a sanctuary covenant church, it still is a journey. It's a process as we try to grapple with these different issues that come to us. What are its implications in terms of, yes, legality, safety, at the same time, what is it that our faith calls us to be? And that's a very basic question for us. In fact, yes, we started this a process of becoming a sanctuary covenant church when the new administration has all this executive orders that threatens the safeguard of many people. But I think we responded because we believe as a church that it is our faith thing to be. These are our faith calls. That's very basic. So we did not have we did not struggle whether we do it or not, but we do it because this is our faith calls us to be. So that's very, very basic. It's the ground of who we are as a church. That's why we did that.
Right. So I mean, no one wants anyone to say, quote unquote, break the law. And when folks are out of status, they are in some sense breaking the law. So, but we work with attorneys, and this is the case with people, churches around the country who have been doing this. They work with people who will have some kind of legal remedy. So there are workarounds, but oftentimes what happens in these cases is that people get picked up and then they don't have any help to realize that they can have some legal help. So it buys them some time. If someone comes into sanctuary and if nothing gets done for them, they can't live anywhere, especially in a church, forever. Right, so that's not humane or legal for anyone involved. But this it buys some time for people to perhaps find a remedy that they didn't have the time to think through, or even get any legal help, or have some kind of even public pressure to say, let's look at this differently. How are we going to deal with a family that gets split apart, where the mother gets deported and the children are American citizens? Is this a humane act? Let's think some of this through. Maybe the remedy might come through a legal working with the lawyer. Maybe it might come through, hopefully, on a larger policy level, where things like DACA actually, the reprieve just came through in terms of the Supreme Court denying the appeal. So there are things that can be done, and this is just one of them. But time is, I think, one of the best things that we can offer people who might be split apart, especially family.
There may be members of your congregation saying, okay, if we do this, could they arrest me?
Well, the thing is, this is not harboring. We will not be harboring someone. How this has worked in the past is there is an announcement. Usually, this is a person going into sanctuary. So they check in with the authorities and let them know where they are. So this is not an illegal act, but it does, like I said, provide some protection and offer some time for a legal remedy to be thought through and perhaps found.
We had that one woman from Maui. You were out there supporting her when she went down to the immigration office.
Yes.
And she has since left, I guess, but her family's split up, though.
Yes. What I understand from the information that we've got is the mother was deported, sadly, and then the children went to their father. I think in California, I'm not sure, but I mean, the reality is they were separated. So we have two children who lost their mother, where just because of this inhumane law that was imposed for us. This mother has been faithfully working here, living without any criminal record or whatnot. So that is very sad.
Yeah, and she had been checking with authorities.
Yes, she has been. She has been checking with authorities, yeah.
Right, okay. Anything else you can share? I mean, so it just sounds like you just saw an injustice and said this is our church and this is what we believe in and we're here if anyone needs us.
I think that this time calls for people to have courage in the face of great adversity. Pastor Chol talked about how do we come upon other people's suffering and what do we do about it, especially as Christians, as people of faith. So I think that I would hope other congregations and people of faith would also want to help a very vulnerable population and to follow their moral teachings and their spiritual beliefs and values in helping others who are oppressed and who might be suffering. And so I hope that, I know that this is where Harris has found a lot of its actions and what we do.
I would just like to say that we are inviting everyone who is willing to join us in this process. Just call our church office, 536-9602, if you want to join us in this process of helping people and building a more loving community, because that is what we should be doing. Regardless of your faith community, regardless of your religion, regardless of your race, your sexual orientation, our invitation is for you to join us in this movement towards building a more loving community, and hopefully we can be more loving than where we are at now.
That was Pastor Rona Magayayam and Sanctuary Ministry Leader Darlene Rodriguez. Harris Methodist Church says its declaration includes helping other churches in their quest to become sanctuary churches. The ACLU has advised churches not to ask about immigration status to avoid running afoul of the law. INS agents can arrest illegal immigrants regardless of where they are if they have a warrant.